5222. As soon as we finish one topic, we're going to move into this next. And now it's time to talk to Dan Mitchell, public policy economist. We're going to talk about Brexit. You can follow Daniel at Daniel J. Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, also danieljmitchell.wordpress.com. Dan, welcome to the program.
Oh, glad to be on.
So help me understand.
So much is going on right now.
Yeah. What just happened? For a country without a constitution, I get confused. I understand there's been some political maneuvering that has, as I understand it, boxed in Boris Johnson in terms of pursuing some aspect of his Brexit agenda. Help me understand.
Well, I guess there's sort of a wonky point about the system of government they have. They're in a parliamentary system. The executive branch and the legislative branch are the same thing. It's sort of like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. She would be the prime minister if we had a parliamentary system. So Boris Johnson, in theory, is totally in charge because he's the prime minister with the governing Conservative Party. However, just like we have these fights in the United States Senate where you have a couple of Republicans will side with the Democrats, well, about 20 Tory Party members, Conservative Party members, have sided with Labour to try to thwart what the British people voted for back in 2016, which was Brexit. In other words, escaping the European Union. And so there's lots of high drama going on. This is literally, even though it's a system of government that's been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, this has never happened before. And so not only...
What is it that's never happened?
What's never happened before is that a prime minister is being thwarted by parliament, because normally the prime minister is in charge of parliament. As a matter of fact, the joke has always been that in a parliamentary system, you elect a dictator for 4 years because a prime minister, a government, has so much power in that system. But now we have what some people are calling a rogue parliament with a prime minister who has a lot of support among the people, but because the political establishment in the UK does not want Brexit, it's really a fascinating standoff.
And what is it that scares them so much about the will of the people in this regard?
Well, there's no question if they have a firm, hard, clean Brexit, whatever you want to call it, it probably will be a speed bump for the economy because you have to sort of reorient some of your trading relationships because the one good thing about the EU, I should have said this first, the one good thing about the EU is that it is a free trade zone for the member nations. So when the UK exits, if they exit, they'll by default go to a WTO system where the trading between the UK and the EU will be like trading between the US and the EU. In other words, there'll be some tariffs. So there will be a hiccup economically if the UK leaves. However, you're getting off a sinking ship because the demographic and economic outlook for the European Union is terrible. And here's the analogy I use. We all know, at least many of us know, sometimes it makes sense to refinance a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You might pay a little bit up front, but you'll save a lot of money in the long run. Well, that's what the UK escaping from the European Union is like. Yes, there'll be a speed bump on the economy in all likelihood when they officially leave, but in the long run, they'll be so much better off. However, this is the problem with the political establishment in the UK. The big businesses and the elite in the United Kingdom, especially in London, they don't want the uncertainty of leaving. They prefer the devil they know, even though they know that devil is a sinking ship, to mix my metaphors.
Well, it seemed like to me the thing that got the British people finally frustrated to the breaking point was the Greek bailout. That's where you really started hearing the unhappiness. And the British, to be fair, always had one foot out the door. They wouldn't take the euro, and they they've always been exceptionalistic in how they look about themselves. So why is this a big surprise for everybody? What's the big surprise?
Well, it shouldn't be. And you put your finger on the key issue there. The Greek bailout, which it upset people in the UK, but it also upset people in Germany and Sweden and other countries. Why are we bailing out Greece for being irresponsible and reckless? Well, the problems that we're seeing in Greece, They're going to happen in Italy. They're going to happen in Spain. Sooner or later, they're going to happen in France and in Belgium. So in other words, it's best for the UK to get out now while they still can.
I get you. I get you in terms of the mortgage analysis, the mortgage analogy that you're giving us. But what about the idea that the long-term outlet for a European Union is a long-term goal that has many, many benefits beyond the risks right presently? That this is something that sort of, you know, everybody wants free trade amongst the European nations. Everybody wants a common currency. Everybody wants this, you know, this. It's a theoretical sort of nirvana that they want to get towards, that maybe, you know, by British bailing out will cause the whole thing to fragment and fall apart, and maybe they're doing, you know, a disservice to other member countries. What about that kind of idea?
Well, there's no question that some of the more responsible countries in the European Union did not want England, the United Kingdom, to leave, because it simply increases the power of the irresponsible countries like France. So I can understand if you're in Sweden or you're in Poland, you're sad to see the United Kingdom go. But on the other hand, you mentioned the euro. All the members of the same political establishment in London that doesn't want to have Brexit happen, they're the same ones that wanted the United Kingdom to replace the pound with the euro. And in retrospect, it was an incredibly good decision not to go with the euro, because,
right,
of course,
right,
the euro has been compromised now by all the bailouts.
That's right.
So I think the United Kingdom, they have control over their own currency. They'll have control over their own economic policy. There are just so many advantages to Brexit that, yes, I'm the first to admit there is that speed bump when you first go out, but, boy, you'll be better off in the long run.
I think Dan Mitchell will be very effective in the UK representing the Tory party. But I got to take a break, guys. I'll have you ask the question after the break. 800-222-5222. Dan Mitchell, public policy economist. Follow him on Twitter at Daniel J. Mitchell. It's Leanne Tweeden and Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live, AM 79. It is Midday Live, Leanne Tweeden and Dr. Drew. We're speaking to Dan Mitchell, public policy economist. DanJMitchell.wordpress.com. And before the break, Leanne, you were about to spit out a question. I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No. There's so many things going on here, and I'm refreshing, and I'm looking right now, and I'm watching live updates here online, and they're saying now that Boris Johnson is suffering another huge blow, the third one in 24 hours, in less than 24 hours, because he's calling for an early election, and it was just now rejected about 10 minutes ago. That he didn't get, it failed to reach the required majority of 2/3 of the lawmakers.
Is this to try to get a
they're trying to hold a snap election, which he said earlier, since becoming prime minister in July, he had repeatedly said he didn't want an early election, but then he tried to get an early election. So what do you make of this? Is he dead in the water? Like, what do you think is going to come of this? What is he trying to do here?
Boris Johnson is still the head of government, and there are various aspects, peculiarities, if you will, of the British system, such as whether the Queen actually gets involved in terms of whether she assents to various pieces of legislation. But as I said before, there are a handful of Tory members who side with the Labour Party and the Liberal Dems, another party in the UK system, and they're blocking the rest of the Conservative Party and Boris Johnson from doing the Brexit that the people voted for back in 2016. Now, if Parliament, in effect, seizes control of government from the Prime Minister, again, as I said before, that's uncharted territory. Now, Boris Johnson wants an election because if there's a new election, he can replace the Tory members who are not siding with the people. He can replace them with members who would side with the people. And all the polling data shows that he would just have a big victory, because Jeremy Corbyn is just, he frankly makes Bernie Sanders look like a libertarian.
Oh, wow.
One of the consistent maneuvers that I do not understand in parliamentary governments is the idea of this no contest or trying to get a, is he going to pull something like that? And what is that? How does that work?
Well, theoretically, a no-confidence vote forces an election, but that's not what's happened. Parliament is voting for laws, for legislation that Boris Johnson doesn't want, but they're specifically doing it in a way where there's no election, because they know an election will bring in a pro-Brexit government, because the Tory members who have defected to the Labour Party, at least in terms of their ideology and voting, they would be replaced. As I said before, it'd be like taking Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, Republicans in the Senate, replacing them with, you know, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. It would make Mitch McConnell's life easier. Well, Boris Johnson wants to do the same thing. He wants a new election because he'll control who is running as a Conservative Party candidate. And that's exactly why the Labour Party doesn't want to give him a new election.
So does Boris Johnson have another move from here, that, or is he stuck?
Well, that's the open question. I've been in contact with several people from the United Kingdom. You ask five people and you get seven different answers, because we are in a, you know, with what, 500 plus years of parliamentary government, we've never had this situation before.
Could the Queen step openly, in or no?
Can who step in?
The Queen.
Well, that's one of the big questions. There's apparently a couple of different points where the Queen can either refuse something or accept something and can change the way everything's done. And by the way, they don't have a Supreme Court the way we have. Mm-hmm. There's no constitution in the UK system. So if you're getting into these sort of, you know, unknown areas where new things are happening, you know, we don't know.
Do we even know how she feels? How does she feel? Does she want to leave? Does she want a Brexit?
Well, nobody really knows for sure, because the monarchy yeah. has stayed out of politics for right. the last 150 years.
Right.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, I must tell you,
she would probably stay out, I think. I think she would just leave them figure it out.
But the way you've described this and the analogies you've used, really, it comes into focus for me. Go ahead.
Can I give you one last analogy that I think sums up why it's so important for the British people? Imagine if we got the income tax in America in 1913. Imagine in 1925 if we had a national referendum and the people voted to get rid of it. And all of a sudden you had a handful of politicians in Congress maneuvering to try to keep the income tax. We would be so angry at the people because we were getting rid of this horrible thing.
Yeah.
And the politicians were then trying to
keep it in
from under us.
Well, it makes me wonder, do the people have any...
Is there anarchy going to happen?
Well, what could they do that might make a difference?
Torches and pitchforks?
Yeah.
Don't forget, you have Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party. So if Boris Johnson, at some point, for whatever reason, sided with the establishment, the Conservative Party would probably be destroyed in the next election, just like they were wiped out in the elections for the European Parliament. The Tory party does not want to be bound up with a very statist, very pro-regulation, very pro-tax European Union. They want to get out while they still can, just like it would have been great if we could have gotten out of the income tax before the thing became a permanent fixture in our society.
Don't make me have a fan. Think about that. I'm still trying to understand what's going on in Britain. But listen, Dan, we've got to wrap this up. Thank you for helping us understand it. Really,
thanks for having me on.
You might have to come back.
I'm sure there'll be updates ahead.
Going.
It's high drama, and I didn't realize that the stakes were quite as fluid. And as you say, it's never happened before, and what's going to happen is going to happen. That's the way it goes.
Good spectator sport.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find Daniel at danieljmitchell.wordspress.com. That's Landry and Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.